Final segment, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106 for the game. Of course, Darren Donick and Chase coming up right after this segment. I also realized, Joe, I didn't make you, I didn't force you to make a pick in the Stanley Cup Finals. I did not hold you your feet to the fire and say, hey, who's winning this thing? We talked about who we want to cheer for, but who is actually going to win? It starts tonight.
So that's the thing. Am I going with my heart here? I don't know, but I'm with like what Robbie's been saying all along. I'm on that bandwagon. Show me the team that can beat that team four times. I think there's probably like if you tell me there's going to be a couple games where Colorado just overwhelms them, I won't be surprised. Maybe three games. I mean, again, look at what Toronto did. Look what the Rangers did in the first two games. It's not like they've just been ripping through everyone not named Florida, but
The Florida series is ignorant.
I could, and that shocked me because I was so excited about that series. But yeah, I got to go with Tampa Bay. What about you?
See, I've made it a running theme that I initially picked Tampa Bay to beat Toronto in seven, but then I thought the Panthers, like this was the Panthers' year. Like it was such now or never thing for the Panthers. Like it's the best team they ever had. So like going into the playoffs, I liked the Panthers to beat the Lightning in the second round. They would have eventually met the battle for the Panhandle. And then I picked the Rangers against the Lightning because the Rangers were my initial pick to win the Eastern Conference anyway. So I have to be, I want to be on the ground floor of the Tampa Bay Lightning dynasty burial. And I think if there's any team that can do it outside of the Panthers or the Rangers, the Avalanche got to be it, right?
No, they're good enough.
It's hard to buy in Darcy Kuemper winning them a series or Francouz, whoever's in net, whoever's healthy, has a pulse and can be a net. I don't necessarily trust them. The reason I actually felt good about the Rangers doing it was because Shesterkin was that good all year long.
He was incredible.
And then after maybe a couple shaky games against the Penguins, actually got his stuff together and was able to carry that team until they met the Rangers in that series. And even after the first two games, he looked fantastic. But I'm going to go Avalanche. Okay. You're excited, Max Herz in the background. He's pumped.
I got Max yelling in the background. Let's get Max in the dunk tank today.
I showed Max the screen grab of you, Jared, and Malik Willis, and he loves it. Also, three-peat. I'm picking Tampa.
Okay.
I've actually said it since it was the Toronto series. You've called
that shot. At the beginning of the playoffs. Yeah, you've been on that train for a while. I have to be like, we can't go all Lightning. I feel like I have a moral obligation to be the one guy, to be that guy. I like to pick against Tom Brady and be wrong. I love to pick against the Tampa Bay Lightning and also be wrong, but
we'll see. It's going to be there's not a bad pick in this series. It's going to be a good series. Real quick on the I got Max Herz yelling at me from inside the studio. I got Jared texting me to do a little preview of Jared versus Joe, and I don't know. I guess of him plunging into the murky waters today over and over again.
You guys
hopefully
get to share today.
Yeah, I get to go in after.
And then I'm after.
Jared says that it's ridiculous. He was stunned by my 52-48 thing on Forsberg. It's 100%. That's Jared's take is that it's over. It's 100%.
That it's done, that he's coming back.
Yes. Yes. So
he is the most confident, I would say, that I've heard.
Which, you know, his point being, I think that like David Poile is going to do whatever is necessary. Adam Vingan was talking about that some. And I buy the line of thinking, but the problem with that certainty is that you're not inside Philip Forsberg's head. And I think that there's absolutely a consideration here that should be made that Forsberg looks at this and sure, he's loved playing here, loves Nashville, all that stuff. Did a very nice toast the other night, but
very lovely,
but still has doubts about where things are going and may have another team in mind that sounds pretty good. And, you know, maybe Los Angeles and Forsberg don't sound all that bad together. I don't think it's as simple as, okay, I'm definitely coming here 100% if you do this. It may not be. And that's a lot of my 48 is on that.
Yeah. And I'm leaning 70-30, I would say. I'm kind of like Adam, but like the only reason it's even 70-30 is because the stakes for the Preds. I think they're more than willing to overpay. They have room to overpay. I just think that if you think the fan base is checked out right now, and a lot of this, like the whole part of being like having a competitive rebuild as opposed to maybe stripping things down to the studs, is because financially and from a business standpoint, it's not great. You need the building as full as possible for a lot of these regular season games. And if you think fans might be getting checked out right now, they're absolutely checking out on you if Philip Forsberg walks. I think, even from a business standpoint, it is a bad move to have that guy just walk away.
No question. You're in a bind. You're in a huge bind.
Exactly. And if you want to at least make money from appearing in the playoffs, which I always think is a smart strategy, even though if you might get stuck in a place for a little bit, that stripping things down to the studs doesn't work out for everybody. It actually doesn't work out for most teams, because then you're behind in a business standpoint. You lose out on a lot of that. But you don't let Forsberg walk if this is what your plan is. You know, this is what the plan is. They've been very forthright about that, and it all goes to hell in a handbasket if you don't re-sign Forsberg. I think that kind of mounting pressure that Adam was alluding to when we had him on at 9 o'clock definitely equates to they are going to overpay for him if they have to. Yeah, I don't think there's a hard line in the sand there.
If they get him here, it's going to be, what was that? Why am I echoing?
I don't know.
Hello? That was the weirdest thing ever.
One of us got unmuted on the Zoom.
That was my fault.
Ah!
Michelle!
Unmuting.
I was helping Max Hertz set up the other show, so.
Yeah, right. See? She's being a team player.
Oh, we have like 9 seconds. Okay, my point being, yes, they will overpay if they keep him. I agree with that. But are they even going to, like, is he for sure coming here if they get to a certain point? Or is it? Beyond that, is there something beyond that with him? Is he struggling with another, with the idea of maybe somewhere else is better?
We'll discuss tomorrow at 6 a.m. Darren Doddick and Chase coming up next. ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Game Nashville app.